MSO, new sports baseball insider Andy Carboni is joining us. And Andy, welcome, and good to be talking with you again.
Absolutely great to be talking with you once again, Bill, and I can't believe what we're about to talk about this morning.
I know. You know, we always joke. I mean, I'm always kidding you about the glass being half empty, half full, and so on, but the glass has got to be half full now after nine straight wins, Andy.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, Bill. It's early in the season. Yes, it's great that they're on a nine-game winning streak, the longest for the Sox since 2018. It's been a remarkable turnaround, if you will, since the season got underway with three straight losses, but I still think this team has issues, but maybe they're going to be a little better than we expected, at least what I expected, and maybe they'll keep us entertained throughout the long summer.
Yeah, I know Alex Cora got a big endorsement from Dan Shaughnessy in today's Boston Globe. And the other thing I was thinking of, Andy, is I saw this stat where it was the old Seattle team years ago lost like six straight to open up a season, then won 10 or 12 in a row or something like that. So this is unusual what the Red Sox are doing here.
Oh, definitely is, no doubt about it. Again, they became the first team since 1991, Mariners, to lose three straight and then go on to win seven in a row. Mariners may have extended that streak a little longer, but the Red Sox add their name to that list. And, well, they take the doubleheader yesterday from the Twins, 3-2 in Game 1, 7-1 in Game 2, Sox 9-3 on the year now in first place, the top of the American League East, and they have a big three-game lead over the Blue Jays, so they can, you know, rest assured that they'll be in first place for at least a few more days if things go south on us. But you know, it's been fun to watch. They've been coming back in games, getting strong starting pitching, which most people didn't really expect would be one of their downfalls. And the offense really hasn't gotten rolling yet, but they're putting up some runs, and they're finding ways to win.
Yeah, I think I'll agree with you on the pitching piece. It's been the most impressive thing, I guess, except for one start this year for the most part, to be quite honest with you. Andy, what else do we, the win streak now is the longest they've had in a while, right?
Well, the nine-game winning streak is the longest since 2018, of course, the year that they went on to win the World Series. So who knows? This could be a harbinger of things to come.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Get us excited, Andy. How did you slip that one in? Is there a reason? Okay, Andy, what else do you have for us on the Red Sox?
Well, they're wrapping up this seven-game road trip this afternoon with the Twins at 1-10. Then they come home for a 10-game homestand, so some home cooking could help the cause as well going forward. So we'll have to see how it all plays out. Back on Monday, the Sox game, the first game that was scheduled against the Twins, that was postponed because of safety concerns after the deadly police shooting on Sunday just outside the city. Tuesday's game in Minneapolis was the second coldest first pitch in Red Sox history, 33 degrees. The coldest first pitch the Red Sox have ever played in, 32 degrees back on April the 7th, 1979 in Cleveland.
It's funny, I was watching that Tuesday game. I popped into it or watched a highlight, and camera behind center field, behind home plate rather, the fly ball goes out to center field and there's snowflakes in the air. And in my head, I'm thinking, those aren't snowflakes. That's some kind of a pollen or something or other. But it was snow for sure, yeah.
It looked like a snow globe out there for a while at times during that game, that's for sure.
How soon our perspectives on spring can change and then change back, because not far from us here today, Andy, we've got snow in the forecast. Any other Red Sox? Oh, Rafael Devers is doing a great job, huh?
Yeah, Rafael Devers was on a hot streak. He homered in four consecutive games. The only other Red Sox players to do that before the age of 25, I should say, were Babe Ruth and Ted Williams, so Rafael getting in some exclusive company. And then last Sunday, J.D. Martinez hit three home runs in the game for the third time in his career, all with different teams, the fifth player ever to do that. Martinez was named American League Player of the Week for April the 5th.
Gotcha. All right. Other team news, Andy, before we go to the Major League Baseball updates?
Well, a little side note here. Just want to ask you a question. Did you know that Red Sox game coordinator Jason Veritek, he's the only person to play in the Little League World Series, College World Series, the Major League Baseball World Series, the Olympics, and the World Baseball Classic. So Jason Veritek has been at all the big games you could possibly be in when it comes to playing baseball. And if you can't get enough of the Red Sox after their afternoon game this afternoon, tonight, NESN Plus is showing Red Sox on this day. First pitch tonight at 9 o'clock. It's a game from April the 15th of 2005. David Ortiz hitting a grand slam as the Red Sox roll over the Devil Rays 10-0 at Fenway.
Just think what they would be if they had Ortiz now, huh? Oh, man. Okay. All right, let's get it. I've got to pull it. I've got to pull it together. Okay. Major League Baseball news.
Well, today, of course, is Jackie Robinson Day, marking the day in 1947 that Jackie became the first black player to play in the major leagues. All players wearing 42 today and tomorrow. Of course, that was Jackie's number. So a nice way to honor him every year on this day.
All right, Jackie Robinson Day today. Other news from around Major League Baseball?
Well, it was some big news last night, Bill. White Sox pitcher Carlos Rondon fell two outs shy of pitching a perfect game. He threw a no-hitter against the Indians. Only batter to reach base came on a hit-by-pitch. White Sox won that game 8-0, and that hit-by-pitch came in the ninth inning, of course, with one out. So kind of a tough way to lose a perfect game, but he still got the no-no. And then last Friday after we talked, Padres pitcher Joe Musgrove threw the first no-hitter of the season, also the first no-hitter in Padres franchise history, in a 3-0 win over the Rangers in Arlington.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I saw a story where a college softball player, so this is women's softball, this woman struck out every single batter she faced in the game.
Now, that is definitely a perfect game, no question about it. That's the way to really define a perfect game. No
I think so, yeah. Unless you go to Bill Lee's perfect inning where you walk three batters and pick all three off. But there you go. All right, other news, Andy?
Well, former Red Sox closer Craig Kimball of the Cubs became the 12th pitcher with 350 saves in a career last week when the Cubs beat the Pirates. Angels pitcher and designated hitter Shohei Ohtani hit a double back on Monday, had an exit velocity of 119 miles per hour off the bat. That's the highest registered so far this season. And Astros pitcher Zach Greinke, as we go on the other side of the miles-per-hour zone, he threw an Ephus pitch back on Monday. It was just 51 miles per hour. I think we could hit that, Bill.
You know, I'm always amazed at that stat with the ball speed off the bat. I would think it'd be higher. It's crazy. I mean, because they're throwing it up there at, you know, close to 100 miles an hour at times, and you'd think the bat you know, I'm not a scientist or a physicist, but you'd think it'd almost double it coming back the other way. But it's not the case.
Nah, I guess not. But still impressive nonetheless.
Yeah.
Other news, Andy?
Well, wrapping things up this week, kind of an interesting situation for the Dodgers. They gave out their World Series rings last week. And the ring itself has 232 diamonds each. And they weigh 11 carats. The box comes with a spinning platform for the ring, an interior light, and an LCD screen inside that plays 4 minutes of season highlights with sound. I mean, can you imagine what this box is all about? How much could, between the ring and the box, how much is that costing per player? I mean, that is just really a wonderful way to grab a World Series ring for all that hard work. To have it presented to you in that fashion, that is really something.
Yeah, I'm thinking, geez, Andy, that's got to go at least $250, don't you think?
Yeah, we might be able to pull a few of our shekels together and maybe get one, but it's just amazing when you think about it.
Now on sale at Dodger.com. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, for a minute there, I thought they were I saw that story. I thought they were going to be each player would get their own highlights on their own 4-minute video, but I guess that's not the case. It's team highlights, yeah.
Yeah, team highlights. That would have been a nice little effect, though. Have team highlights followed by your own highlights. Why not? If they can do 4 minutes of a video inside a box, make it 8.
Yeah, but I'm thinking there's a few players that don't have a lot of great highlights, and then they're stretching out their you know, their highlights, and they're taking ball one, ball two, strike one. Then they double down into the corner, but that takes up 2.5 minutes. There you go. All right, you got to have everybody on that team. It's all a team, and
everybody gets the ring. As long as you appear in some fashion, you will get one.
Yeah,
quite a present.
That's
for sure.
Everybody wins. Right. Okay. All right, Andy. Always good talking with you, and we'll see what happens. We'll see if the win streak continues next week.
We will. Absolutely.
There he is, MSO News Sports Baseball Insider Andy Carbone, and I'm Bill Newell.